This is ITE 1, Module 7, Part 1, for Semester 2. This module is on printers and scanners. And because they cover this so heavily, we probably will not do the advanced printer and scanner lecture because it's pretty not advanced. It's not very helpful. So because believe me, you'll get plenty of that. In this chapter, you're going to learn how printers operate, what to consider when purchasing a printer, and how to connect printers to an individual computer or network. We'll also be talking about scanners, and hopefully you guys have some familiarity with those if you use them for scanning text and reading it. That's how most blind people know about scanners. As a quick review, printers produce paper copies of electronic files. Scanners allow users to convert paper documents into electronic files, so they're kind of opposite of each other. We need to remember that we do not yet live in a paperless society. Paper documents are still needed for legal reasons for consumers, private businesses, and government departments. What's another reason you might need to work with printed documents? Let's have some brainstormings here.
Schooling? Like
places where there's lots of power outages.
Yes, both of those are good reasons. Any other ones?
People
we use a lot at work because people have... Yep, people prefer to read paper. We use a lot of them because we need to sign documents for files.
Like mass distribution of things, you know, whether it be advertising or just an informative.
Yeah, flyers and stuff.
Thing
yeah.
That needs to go out, flyers yeah. And things like that. That you, I mean, even though CDs are pretty cheap in most places, you know, a lot of people still don't have the thing to read them. And it's just, I mean, a piece of paper you can grab and stick in your pocket and take it. Most people, obviously we don't, but most people can just take it with them and read it and then... Use it to start
well, yeah,
a barbecue
with.
Yeah,
you'd have a sighted person read it to you.
Yeah,
another
exactly.
Thing,
well, or, yeah,
thing
eventually.
Another thing is that you'd be surprised how many people are, like, not in with the times. I mean, you should be surprised how many people don't even own a computer. And when you fill out forms, paper documents... They always say, you can go fill out the form at www.com, you know? Well, some people don't even have a computer, so they'll need those forms, those paper forms.
Absolutely.
And it's just amazing to see how many people just don't have a computer these days.
And sometimes the forms are not very accessible, so it's a lot easier to find a sighted person to read it to you than to fight with the form sometimes.
Yep.
Yep. All right, so we've got good reasons. And for businesses, it also increases accountability. Sometimes for tax purposes and stuff, you need to have printed copies. So, printers are still very, very valuable resources. As blind technicians, we're not exempt from having to deal with printers. It's important to know how to help clients purchase a printer as well as to set up, maintain, and repair them, and we might want to. I got a laser printer, which is probably some of the best money I've ever spent, and I got a pretty good deal on one, and I know Blind Bargains had one really cheap. For blind people, they're great, and we'll talk about why in a bit here. Okay. Printers available today are usually either laser printers using electrophotographic technology or inkjet printers using electrostatic spray technology. Dot matrix printers using impact technology are used in applications that require carbon copies. I think the post office use these a lot. So here are some things to think about when choosing a printer for a customer. These include capacity, speed, color, quality, and reliability. The capacity of a printer refers to how much paper it is able to hold in its paper tray. If your client will be doing lots of printing, then they will want a printer that does not have to be reloaded often. The speed of a printer is measured in pages per minute, or PPM. Inkjet printers are usually slower, but they might be adequate for a home or small office. The speed of an inkjet printer is 2 to 6 ppm, while the speed of a laser printer is anywhere from 8 to 200 ppm. That's pretty amazing.
It'd be like
color of black
PPM.
And white can be... Yeah, yeah. A computer
pages
monitor
would be
produces
flying out like
colors.
Rockets.
Oh, I know they would, wouldn't they?
To I've be fair, they don't always have one outlet. So if you're looking at 800 page per minute, you might have 8 output trays. So it's not going to be like a machine gun.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy.
That'd be really efficient, that's though, if anything. Seen.
Well, yeah, I think that's the point.
That'd be the point. Okay, so color or black and white can be important. A computer monitor... We're going to talk about the differences between the way a computer and a printer produce color. A computer monitor produces colors through the additive mixing of dots that are displayed on the screen. The eye picks up the colors directly. The dots produce the color ranges using red, green, and blue, RGB dots. A printer, on the other hand, produces colors using subtractive mixing. The eye sees a color that reflects from the combination of colors on the paper. Printers can either be black and white only, also called monochrome, or color. Your customer may only need a monochrome printer if they are printing out professional letters and business documents. If a customer usually prints out colorful flyers for advertising, they will need a color printer. Ask the customer what types of documents the printer will be used for to help make this decision. They also give an example that a teacher might want colorful handouts and lesson plans and stuff, and so they'd want a color printer as well. That's kind of the example they provide. The quality of printing is measured in dots per inch, DPI. The more DPI, the higher the resolution. When the resolution is higher, text and images are usually clearer. To produce the best high-resolution images, you should use both high-quality ink or toner and high-quality paper. And we'll see dots per inch a number of times throughout here. A printer should be reliable. Don't just select the... don't just settle for the first printer you can find. There are a lot of options out there, so do your research before you just pick something. Here are some things to check. Warranty. Identify what is covered in the warranty. Scheduled servicing. Servicing is based on expected usage. Mean time between failures, or MTBF. There's an average length of time that the printer works without failing. The best places to find this information are either the printer manual or the manufacturer's website. Total cost of ownership. It is important to consider the total cost of ownership of a printer. This includes the purchase price of the printer, cost of supplies such as paper and ink, price per page printed, maintenance cost, and extended warranty costs. When calculating the TCO, you should also consider the amount of material printed and the expected lifetime of the printer. So you can get some really cheap inkjet printers, and you think, oh great, I got this printer for $50. But sometimes the cost of the printer and the ink and the the ink and the paper and stuff can end up costing more than the actual printer itself. So it's kind of the other way they describe this is the razor and blades model. You can get really cheap razors, but then you spend all kinds of money on the replacement blades. It's the same way with printers. You can get a really cheap printer, but the ink cartridges can end up costing far more than the printer itself did, and then you haven't really saved any money. So that's something to think about. Any questions so far? Okay. You need to be able to connect to a printer in order to use it. So some of the common interfaces used to connect printers to computers are parallel, USB, and wireless. Serial, they also talk about serial, and this and parallel are becoming less common because USB is replacing them. Some of the older note takers used to work better with some of these older interfaces. Even now, the new ones are switching to USB printers, but getting any printer to work with a note taker nowadays is getting harder, but that's another issue. Corporate printers might connect to a network using a network cable. Serial data transfer is the movement of single bits of information one after the other, so the ants go marching one by one. Hurrah. Serial connections are only one bit wide. A serial connection can be used for dot matrix printers because the printers do not require high-speed data transfer in order to work. Parallel data transfer is faster than serial data transfer. Parallel data transfer is the movement of multiple bits of information in a single cycle. The path is wider for information to move to or from the printer. Usually this is 8 bits, so the ants go marching 8 by 8. IEEE 1284 is the current standard for parallel printer ports. You also have modes such as Enhanced Parallel Port, EPP, and Enhanced Capabilities Port, ECP. These are two modes of operation within the IEEE 1284 standard that allow bidirectional communication. And the parallel cables are like the ones, the parallel cables have, as Grace was talking about earlier, the parallel port they connect to is 25 pins, and it's female, and it's got holes for the screws. Therefore, the parallel cable is 25 pins and male, and has screw-ins. The connector that goes to your printer is a 36-pin Centronics connector, and it's got little spring clips on the side. The port has little spring clips, and then the cable has places for the port's spring clips to clip into. And they can take some doing removing... Well, actually, both ends of these cables can take some practice to getting used to. We actually had some people... Actually, no, that was more the end that would go into the note takers, but we had some people that bent them so often that they were forbidden to actually plug them in, and in order to get any printouts, they had to come get someone to plug it in for them because they had just damaged so many of them. So any cable with pins, you got to be careful. And that's one reason why we are very glad that they're using new other technologies. We also talk about SCSI printers, and I've never seen one, but I'm sure they exist because they're in here. SCSI stands for Small Computer Systems Interface. It's spelled SCSI. And it's a type of interface that uses parallel communication technology to achieve high data transfer rates. And this is all we see about SCSI in this chapter. Actually, there are SCSI scanners as well, and we'll come to those. But pretty much that's all we see. Like I said before, apparently SCSI printers are out there, but I don't know much about them. Also, USB, this is the most common connection method today for home computers. Both it and FireWire are high-speed plug-and-play options. Ethernet is another option. Printers can be shared over a network. Connecting a printer to the network requires cabling that is compatible with both the existing network and the network port installed in the printer. Most network printers use an RJ45 interface to connect to a network. Wireless printing technology is available in infrared, Bluetooth, and wireless fidelity or Wi-Fi technology. Infrared uses invisible light to transmit data. The two transmitters and receivers must have a clear line of sight, view of each other, and can be no more than 3.7 meters or 12 feet apart, and we talked about that earlier. Bluetooth is also something we talked about. It uses an unlicensed radio frequency for short-range communications. It can communicate over somewhat longer distances than infrared and does not require a line-of-sight connection, so that's why Bluetooth is kind of cool. Many new printers are Wi-Fi enabled, and we'll talk more about Wi-Fi in Module 8, but these are a way to... these can apparently be somewhat fiddly, these Wi-Fi printers, but if you really need wireless printing, they're an option for you. We're going to talk about laser printers now, unless there are any questions. But we're... Everybody awake still?
Are you doing your sound?
Yeah, I really like this chapter. Sounds are coming. Let me explain how the laser printer works, and then the sounds will happen.
The sounds come after we learn how it works. People listen. That way you keep the people listening.
Yeah,
it's a standard advertising ploy. After this explanation, you hear a sound.
Yeah. And laser printers are cool. I like this chapter, and Grace doesn't, so that's why I like this, that's why I'm doing it. Okay.
I do have one question before we move on, though.
Sure.
Back to inkjet. Is there... I mean, I was checking this very few months ago, and I certainly haven't heard of anything, but is there any semi-recognized standard emerging or any hopes of getting one to really evaluate, like, a cost per page for printers? Because, you know, there's, you know, big debates whether, you know, the original cartridge from certain manufacturers, you know, will give you that many more pages than a refill or, you know, a third-party cartridge. And
well, we'll talk a bit
different
about
ink technologies.
Talk a bit about that later, and the different whether you should. Manufacturers would like you to use their cartridges.
There are actually technical reasons why you should, but we'll cover that when we get to inkjets. There are very good reasons why you should not refill.
Oh, yes.
My question is more, though, say, comparing one manufacturer's per page per cart. You know, let's say there are two manufacturers that have...
Do you know why? Do you know why? Because they can't tell you what you're printing. Are you printing a page of black? Are you doing 2% coverage? 10% coverage? Is that a green page you printed? What's the temperature? What slope is your printer on? Are the heads warmed up? I mean, come on, how long's a piece of string?
Are you printing?
I don't want them to tell me how many pages, but to have some objective standard of comparing, you know, come up with the pages will be that way, but there's nothing.
Carrie's absolutely right. There's no way they can do that. Please unkey.
The fact is, you can't compare apples to oranges. You can't say HP is better than Epson, Epson is better than Kyocera, because as soon as you say Epson is better than Kyocera, Kyocera will release the Ink Blaster 9000, which is better, until Epson releases the Epson Ink Soaker 10,000. I mean, it's such a fast-moving world that there's no way to have an objective comparison. It's up to the end of the story with inkjets, since you know, we obviously might as well kill it now.
Since we're here.
How many pages does the manufacturer expect, which does not mean how many pages you will get, and how long do you want the cartridges to last? Divide the cost of the ink by the number of pages, and you'll get the cost per page. That is about as good as it gets. As a blind person, I'd suggest you don't even own an inkjet because the tanks dry up too quick. But that's just us.
Yeah, because if you don't print that much, when you really want to go print something, it won't print, and you may not know until you hand it to whomever it's supposed to go to, and they say, this doesn't have anything on it, or I can't read it, and you go,
Unfortunately, I mean, I'm not bashing printers, but when I was in college, I had this computer, printer that still doesn't work. It was an Epson stylus, and that was what they gave me. And
some of those
are good. Well, this is a specialized printer that takes 4 ink cartridges. There's black and white and, like, a bunch of other colors.
Oh, yeah, they're doing that now.
Yeah, unfortunately...
Yeah, we'll talk about
that,
too.
The ink cartridge is, like, over $100. I tried to look for it, and it was over $100. And so that's why my computer, my printer, for, like, 5 years has not been used, so...
And toner lasts a lot longer. So let's move on to laser printers, and we'll come back to... This will come up... we'll talk some more about some of this stuff. So, a laser printer is a high-quality, fast printer that uses a laser beam to create an image. The central part of the printer is a metal cylinder that is coated with a light-sensitive insulating material. This is known as the electrophotographic drum, or simply the drum. When a beam of laser light strikes the drum, it becomes a conductor at the point where the light hits it. As the drum rotates, the laser beam draws an electrostatic image on it. The undeveloped image is then taken past dry ink or toner that is attracted to it. The drum turns and brings this image in contact with the paper, which attracts the toner from the drum. The paper is passed through a fuser that is made up of hot rollers, which melts the toner into the paper. This process is incredibly confusing as the way they've described it. So now we're going to go through it step by step. They break it down. There are 6 steps that are required to print a single page. It seems like it should take fewer steps because these printers are just able to print so fast. And these are not as testable as they once were in the chapter exam. They are they may show up in the final, so you're not going to memorize these word for word, but you want to have a general idea of how they go. These are cleaning, conditioning, writing, developing, transferring, and fusing. And these are referred to as the printing process, the laser printing process, and that's how they'll refer to it. So, here's each step. Cleaning. When an image has been deposited on the paper and the drum has separated from the paper, any remaining toner must be removed from the drum. A printer may have a blade that scrapes all excess toner from the drum. Some printers use an AC voltage on a wire that removes the charge from the drum surface and allows the excess toner to fall away from the drum. The excess toner is stored in a used toner container that is either emptied or discarded. It may be part of the cartridge. So this toner that it's talking about here is the residue left over from the last page that was printed before. So we have to get rid of that so we can use new toner later. So this is one of those processes that sort of begins from sort of the end, if you know what I'm talking about. Because this is for every single page, not a document. This is a per-page process. So next is conditioning, and this step involves removing the old latent image from the drum and conditioning the drum for a new latent image. So again, this is the image from the page that was printed before this one. So we're still kind of preparing things right now. Conditioning is done by placing a special wire, grid, or roller that receives a negative charge of approximately minus 600 volts DC uniformly across the surface of the drum. No, you don't have to remember that number. The charged wire or grid is called the primary corona. The roller is called a conditioning roller, so you'll either have one or the other, I think. The next step is writing. The writing process involves scanning the photosensitive drum with the laser beam. Every portion of the drum that is exposed to the light has the surface charged reduced to about negative 100 volts DC. This electrical charge has a lower negative charge than the remainder of the drum, so as the drum turns, an invisible latent image is created on the drum. In the developing stage, the toner is applied to the latent image on the drum. So the toner is a negatively charged combination of plastic and metal particles. So a control blade holds the toner at a microscopic distance from the drum. The toner then moves from the control blade to the more positively charged latent image on the drum. So the toner is basically attracted to it. Because the toner has more negative charge than the drum, it is attracted to the drum. Both have negative charges, but the drum has a more positively charged surface than the toner does. In the transferring stage, the toner is attached to the image is transferred to the paper. The transfer or secondary corona places a positive charge on the paper. And because of that charge, the toner on the drum is then attracted to the paper. The image is now on the paper and is held in place by the positive charge of the paper. Finally, in the fusing process, the toner is permanently fused to the paper. The printing paper printing paper is rolled between a heated roller and a pressure roller. As the paper moves through the heated roller and the pressure roller, the loose toner is melted and fused into the fibers in the paper. The paper is then moved to the output tray as a printed page. So this is why paper printed from a laser printer is hot. The toner has to be literally melted into the paper. It has nothing to do with the laser. The laser doesn't have to necessarily do with the fact that it's hot. That's because the toner has been melted into the paper. The following mnemonic can help you memorize the order of the steps of the laser printing process. This was more important when it was more testable. Continuous care will delay trouble forever. Cleaning, conditioning, writing, developing, transferring, and fusing. And it's a lame mnemonic, but it helped me plenty of times on the test. And the word constant instead of continuous is easier for me to remember, but you may be asked to put these in order. And as we said, not during this exam, but on the finals, you'll be asked about it. And you just need to have a general idea of how they go. Warning, the primary coronal wire or grid or conditioning roller can be very dangerous. The voltage runs as high as negative 6,000 volts. Only certified technicians should work on the conditioning parts. Before working inside a laser printer, you should make sure that voltage is properly discharged. And so now that you've had that explanation, I'm going to play you a laser printer sound. Most of you've probably heard these, but I've got a sound anyway. Okay, line two, that way you can hear me and the printer. Do you hear this sound? Oops, hang on, I broke it. Yes, you have to set the input device to line 2 and not the output device. So for a moment I couldn't hear you guys. So can you say stuff now?
Blah, guff. Stuff.
Okay. Cool. Can you hear this?
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now that's not the printer, but it's just a random sound. Here is your printer. And that's one page. And that's just the laser printer I have sitting here recorded with the Olympus. That's one page. And it does all of that stuff I read to you. Which is pretty darn amazing.
Wow.
And this is like a home printer, too. This is a small one. So this is not
So it's not something you'd use in a more professional setting.
This thing is pretty fast, actually. I mean, we've printed documents that have been... for, you know, heat sheets for a swim meet, hundreds of a sheet, although it didn't have much printing on them, but we've... And the toner lasts a long time, which will... because it doesn't... there's a lot more of it, and it lasts a lot longer than ink, and it doesn't dry up. It has a shelf life, but it lasts a lot longer. Okay, let me switch back to the microphone, and we will move on to the next type of printer here, which is... impact printers. So give me just a sec. Okay, here we are back again. Impact printers are very basic printers, and these are older. Impact printers have print heads that strike the inked ribbon, causing characters to be printed on the paper. Dot matrix and daisy wheel are examples of impact printers, and I've got several sounds for these guys. Impact printers are good because they use inexpensive consumables, use continuous feed paper, and can create carbon copies. Unfortunately, they are also slow, loud, and have limited colors and low-resolution graphics. So, in the Daisy Wheel printer, the wheel contains the letters, numbers, and special characters, and it looks kind of like a daisy, which is why they... call them that. The wheel is rotated until the required character is in place, and an electromechanical hammer pushes the character into the inked ribbon. The character then strikes the paper, imprinting the character on the paper. This is similar to... this works a bit like a Braille embosser. And the recording I have is actually a pretty fast one. I'm going to play that now. There was one I liked a little better.
We didn't hear it.
And it was on YouTube, but I haven't played it yet. Here we go. I was just setting up the thing. Here we go.
Sounds vicious.
Yeah.
Now, there was one that I liked better that sounded a bit more like a Braille embosser, and I was going to get it for you, but the guy just talked about the printer, and then it starts going, and he's like, oh, and this thing is working really well, and I'm like, why did you have to talk? I wanted to use
that
this.
That does kind of operate in the same way as a Braille embosser, except
Braille
and some
labeler.
Of them sound even more
softer. Yeah.
The wheel probably looks more like a Braille labeler, but it's spinning around really, really fast.
Yeah, and they had different... There was actually a really cheap... They had a special wheel with a dot on the period, and some of the time they would actually have a special wheel you'd use, and it would just pound the period really heavily, and you could actually get Braille out of a Daisy Wheel printer, someone was telling me. it wasn't very good Braille, but it would do in a pinch, I guess. And actually, I'm going to leave myself set on the repeaters for now, because the next sound won't come up, the next couple sounds won't come up too much later, so. The next kind we're going to talk about is a dot matrix printer, and this is similar, except that instead of a wheel containing the characters, a print head contains pins that are surrounded by electromagnets in a matrix. So when energized, the pins push forward onto the character ribbon, creating a character, or the inked ribbon, creating a character on the paper. The number of pins on a print head, either 9 or 24, indicates the quality of the print. The highest quality of print that is produced by the dot matrix printer is referred to as near letter quality, or NLQ. Most dot matrix printers use continuous feed paper. And this is sort of like, this is the kind of paper that Braille embossers use. It's got perforations between each page, and there are little strips down the sides that actually keep it from slipping. Yeah, they prevent skewing or shifting. Sheet feeders that produce, that print one page at a time are available in some of the higher quality, higher end office printers. A large roller called the platen applies pressure to keep the paper from slipping. If multiple copy paper is used, the platen gap can be adjusted to the thickness of the paper. Impact printers are all sort of similar to Braille embossers. The pressure's not as high. And we have two dot matrix printers here. My dad had a Tandy, a TRS-80, and it had a 9-pin dot matrix with absolutely no buffer at all, and I used to print from the Braille and speak from that for years and years and years, and it was really interesting sounding, but I don't have that anymore. So here is an image writer, which some of you guys will have heard before if you were in school.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that sound? I certainly do. That was the original. That wasn't the Image Writer 2. That was the original, too. The original one. The next one is an Epson printer, and I think Carrie has decided this is printing a table. And it is, because it's doing that, it's quite a bit faster.
Oh, yeah, we have this at my school.
Yeah, and a lot of cash registers, well, not as many now, but older cash registers used to use the dot matrix printers.
I remember
any
that.
Any questions?
Long, long time ago.
I still hear them occasionally. All right, we're going to talk about inkjets next. Actually, from what I'm gathering, the repeaters haven't fallen over yet, so if they do, let me know. I'm just going to stick with it. Okay, so an inkjet printers are good in several respects. These printers are very versatile. The images they produce are high quality, and they are relatively less expensive than laser printers, although laser printers are coming down. The text also says they are quick to warm up and lists this as an advantage. I've seen some inkjets that take a long time to get started. I'm not so sure I agree with this. But Cisco believes it's the case, so if they ask you, quick to warm up is one. Do you have a question? Okay. Apparently not. Drawbacks of inkjets are that the resulting page is wet, ink cartridges are expensive, and the nozzles clog. More on this later. The print quality of an inkjet printer is measured in dots per inch, as we talked about before. And the higher the dots per inch resolution, the better the image will look. It's kind of like sample rate. The higher the sample rate, theoretically, the better the file will sound in audio. The inkjet printers used ink-filled cartridges that spray ink onto a page through tiny holes. The tiny holes are called nozzles. The ink is sprayed in a pattern on the page. There are two types of inkjet nozzles. Thermal. A pulse of electrical current is applied to heating chambers around the nozzles. The heat creates a bubble of steam in the chamber. The steam forces ink out through nozzles and onto the paper. This is presumably where the bubble jet came from in some of the printer names. Some people call them trouble jet. But I haven't had much experience with them, but that was Carrie's joke last time I did this. The other type are piezoelectric crystals that are located in the ink reservoir at the back of each nozzle. A charge is applied to the crystal, causing it to vibrate. This vibration of the crystal controls the flow of ink onto the paper. Inkjet printers use plain paper to make economical prints, while special purpose paper can be used to create high quality photographs, or in the case of a printer that we used to have, you could make t-shirt transfers that you would iron onto a t-shirt, so you could print text or images, iron it on, and you had your t-shirt design. When the inkjet printout print is complete and the paper leaves the printer, the ink is often wet. You should avoid touching printouts for 10 to 15 seconds to prevent the images from smearing. This is especially important for us because we can't see if the image is actually smeared in most cases. Also, because ink can dry up if it hasn't been used for a long time, it might be worth considering a laser printer which won't have this problem. The second diagram in the section on laser printers, it explains the internal components of an inkjet, and it's pretty cool. Something else to think about with inkjets, and this is a pattern that I've noticed, when a piece of paper comes out of a laser printer, oftentimes it is face down with the top facing you. And with inkjets, it can be the other way, where the page is face up and the bottom is facing you. Make sure when you get a printer and it's yours, get help figuring out which way the document comes out, so that you are, for example, stapling it in the proper place. I like the way laser printers do it. It makes a little more sense to me. For the longest time when I was in middle school, I didn't realize, and so I was forever stapling papers upside down. Okay, here is a Dell inkjet printing some black and white text. And this one's fast. I think that was a list of something, but still, that's pretty fast. Okay. We are going to, it is about 3 minutes till, and the next type of printer is a solid ink printer, and those are a bit more complicated, so I think we're going to leave off here for today. Are there any questions that you have right now before we go ahead and call it a day? I think this is a good place to stop. John, you have a question.
Not a question so much as just a comment. Sometimes the printer driver will have settings that you can reduce the amount of ink that's used or the quality of the image, and if you're printing drafts of stuff that don't need to be real high quality, that can sometimes lengthen the life of the amount of ink you have to buy.
Yep, and we talk about optimization, and I think that is something that comes up there. But yes, you're right, that can be a good thing.
There's another thing I found. I think it's EcoFont. There's actually a font that is actually designed to save on ink, but it's still readable. They changed
really?
The actual serifs and stuff, and it's a special EcoFont, and apparently it's free. And if you print with that, you'll also save a pile of ink. I just can't remember where I saw it, but I'm sure environmentally friendly font into Google will find it for you. But that's another way to save ink.
I bet you Vid will know about it. Or if he doesn't, I shall tell him about it, because he likes fonts, and he, like, writes them and stuff. But yeah, that's interesting. I had never heard of that. That makes a lot of sense, though. Because the more elaborate the font, the more ink is used, and the more work the printer has to do. Okie dokie, anything else? Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording. So if there's any last minute questions, go ahead and